Hallelujah. It's great to be here with you this morning. When Paul actually phoned me up and asked me if I would come and speak, I said, yes, of course I'll come and speak. And then I realized the date that we were going to actually do it, I couldn't make it. So we ended up changing it and messing about, but I'm still here. And it said Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. I thought, that's good. Yeah, what can I speak about that? But actually, the lion's den is only a little bit of it. Anybody read Daniel chapter 6? Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad some of you have read it in advance. You know, there's a tremendous thing. And I've actually titled today's sermon. I like to give a title to a sermon. Anybody do that? Anybody sermon preachers here that like to give titles to sermons? Well, I've given a title and I said, Daniel, a faithful man with an excellent spirit. Yeah. Daniel, a faithful man with an excellent spirit. I want to get to the point in my life, and I don't know about you, where no one can find fault in me. In anything I do, where are you on that? I want to get to that point. I'm not there yet, but I want to get to that point because I want to have the same excellent spirit. Don't you? I want to be faithful. I believe I'm faithful to God. I'm faithful to the Lord. I'm faithful to the ministry that the Lord has given me. I'm faithful to that point, yeah? But I also want to have that excellent spirit. Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about an excellent spirit within me, yeah? And it's the same spirit that some other two other guys had, you know? That's in the Old Testament. Some of you Bible scholars will tell me who it is. And there were two of them. You know, and I'm going to ask you a question. Can you name the spies that went out to the first time when they went out from the wilderness into the promised land? Who were all the spies? Tell me all the 12 spies. Some of you probably remember. All right, then tell me 10 of them. Oh, crumbs, you know, make it easier for you. 5 of them, come on, give me 5. No? Give me 2 of them then. All right. And it also said that they had a different spirit, didn't they? They have the same spirit in their lives as Daniel. An excellent spirit. Folks, as believers, as Christians, we are supposed to have an excellent spirit. Yeah. We're supposed to have an excellent spirit. We're supposed to have a different spirit. We're supposed to be different to the world. Aren't we? Daniel was different. If you go through the life of Daniel, which you're doing, and you're going through this book, an amazing book, if you go right back to the beginning, which you have, I know you have, but just to remind you, Daniel was a young man. He had 3 friends who were... Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. And they had a different spirit even then. Because they decided they would not defile themselves with the king's meat, with the things of where they'd come to. They were in the world, but they were not of it. So in a sense, that was the beginning. And you're going to do a fast, I think. At the end of this month, you're talking about a frugal one. How about a Daniel fast? Have you heard of a Daniel fast? Anybody heard of a Daniel fast? You only eat vegetables and drink water, you know. That's not a good... Yeah, never mind. You know, and in a sense, that's what they did. And they fasted. Then there's various other things happened all the way through it. Daniel was faithful. And his 3 friends were faithful. And here we're told he was faithful and had an excellent spirit. The previous chapter, which you obviously did the last time, is that he refused to take anything from Belshazzar, you know? In fact, he condemned him. He actually put judgment onto him. He told him, hey, this is the truth. He was actually being brave because Belshazzar could have just went, taken him out, but he didn't because he trusted in his God. And now we have the outcome of it. I love this portion of scripture. Now, we see Daniel is appointed as into high office. He's at the top. There's 120 governors. That's what satrap is. There are 120 governors. And then there's three of them above them. We're not told who the three are except for one, who is Daniel. And then, and on top of that, the king, Darius, was actually going to promote him to the very top. And the reason why is because, and I'm looking through it and reading between the lines. You have to read between the lines sometimes. Isn't the Bible frustrating sometimes? Do you get frustrated in the Bible? When it doesn't actually tell you exactly everything that's going on, just enough. And so if you're reading between the lines, the king was losing money. Someone was pinching it. And there was only a few people that could have done that, and that were the governors. And possibly, you know, one of the top guys. Except for Daniel. And they could see that he was trustworthy. He was faithful, he was trustworthy. He was faithful and trustworthy to the king. But most of all, he was faithful to his God. And that made him faithful to the king. And the king recognized that and he said, right, total promotion. Who else was promoted in the Bible to that point? Joseph went on to that point as well, didn't he? He was faithful all the way through. Even when he was in prison, they gave him promotion. He was faithful. Daniel was the same. Daniel was the same. And so here we have it. There was corruption in the land. It was ripe in the kingdom. And the king needed someone to trust. So he was going to promote him. And you'd think, wouldn't you? You'd think that such trustworthiness and faithfulness would actually, you know, everybody would love him. You would think that, wouldn't you? Everybody loves us Christians, don't they? Yeah. Everybody loves us because we're all trustworthy and faithful and everything else, aren't we? Daniel faced much jealousy. He faced it, didn't he? You might think it, but it went wrong. His enemies could only get him. They couldn't get at him because of, you know, what he was doing in the kingdom. Could he? They couldn't get at him at all. But what they could do is they could get him on his faith. And how were they going to do that? How were they going to do that? They tricked the king. They tricked the king. It's all there. It's very easy to have a go at an egotistical guy. Play on his ego. You can see it in our own country, can't you? I'm not going to get political. I'm far from it. But we can actually sort of see it. Hey, play on the ego of the top guys and you can get whatever you want to. We used to have a chocolate bar. Yeah? It was called a Boost. Yeah? Still around, apparently. Not that I eat them very often, Pauline. Yeah? I'm not allowed. Yeah. And there was an advert for it. Give your ego a boost. Have a boost. You know? You remember that advert? Those that are old enough? Yeah? If you don't, then hey, I'm sorry. Yeah. Give your ego a boost. Hey, people out there, you can give them their egos a boost. And they did that to the king. He was egotistical, wasn't he? And they said, oh, yes. all we want to do, king, is just lift you up. And they told Porky's. Because at least one governor and the top guy hadn't talked about it, didn't they? Did he? So they said, all of us governors. And they told lies and they whatever. And they pulled him up and they lifted him up. And now we say, oh, king, live forever. That's a good one, isn't it? Oh, king, live forever. Not that he was going to. Or maybe he has because of what is said at the end. But, oh, king, live forever. Let nobody petition any gods or God. Only you, king, because you're a god. And, of course, he liked that. Well, yeah. And there was a thing, wasn't there? There was the law of Medes and Persians. And the minute you actually signed that, there was no way that that could be actually wiped out. There was somewhere else in the Bible who says something about that as well. You know, we're having a Bible study here today. And there was somewhere else in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where they had the Medes and the Persians, the law of the Medes and the Persians. And it was a name of a book that was a lady's name, which was Esther. One of my favorite books in the Bible, you know. Yeah. Esther. And it's the same thing here. They could not actually stop it once it happened. And he signed it. Great. Now we come to the real nitty-gritty of this book, this portion of the book. It says there that Daniel will not deny knowledge of his God. And what did he do? He went home and he knelt down and he prayed as was his custom. Yeah? And verse 10 tells us he knelt down. And he knelt down and he prayed. And he went to his upper room in verse 10. And he prayed. And he did that. And he said he had a special place of prayer. Do you have a special place of prayer? Yeah? Do you have a special place of prayer? Do you have a time where you can pray, where you are alone? We need that, folks. We live in a rush and bustle. Not here in Frinton, of course. Frinton is so laid back and sort of, you know, it's where people come to retire. And they don't do anything else. Yeah, right. Yeah. So we live in a rushed and bustled place and everything's going on and flying around. Do you pray? I keep getting woken up early in the morning. Pauline will vouch for that. Not that she's awake when I get up. I'm usually up by about 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's so quiet at 5 o'clock in the morning. Anybody get up at 5 o'clock in the morning? Oh, yeah. Some of you are probably going to work. I'm not going to work. Well, I am actually going to work because I'm sitting down, I'm reading and I'm praying and I'm seeking God. So I suppose that, in a sense, is a work. This is the best thing about being in so-called full-time Christian ministry. You know? Yeah, you can do that. But there I'm actually having that quiet time. I'm having that time of just being alone with God and praying and seeking Him and praising Him. I enjoyed the praise and worship this morning. I almost thought I was walking into a Pentecostal church. Yeah. No. Yeah, it's high and lifted up. Yeah, glorify Him, exalt His name forever. Amen. And that is what's happened with Daniel. He was praising God. He was bringing his supplication. He was actually worshiping the Lord and praying. But he didn't do this just once. He did it three times a day. You know, sometimes it's good. You know, somebody pray for the Muslims. For their actual, you know, they have to do it. But they have to pray five times a day. Is it five times a day? Five times a day. And the Bible says, the Word of God tells us that we don't have to do that. We've been set free. We haven't got laws and whatever. We're under grace. Thank goodness for that. Yeah. But there is in within us called the Holy Spirit. He lives and indwells us. And he actually directs us. And we want to pray. We want to communicate with God. And Daniel did. Daniel acknowledged God and he would not actually stop doing that. He had special times of prayer, 3 times. He was ready to let his praying be publicly known. And he knew that this is going to cause him to get... Wasn't it? I wonder how many of us would actually pray if you knew that it was against the law in this country. Would you do it publicly? It's a question, isn't it? Would you do it publicly? Or would you just close the windows and close the doors and just quietly do it on your own and, you know, not let no one know? Would you be, somebody said, a secret believer? It's a question, isn't it? There are many people who actually attend a cell group right across the world. They're on their own in a cell, in prison, because of their faith. For them, cell group is every day. Sorry. Yeah. And it's for them that we should pray for them. But they've actually sort of paid the ultimate, haven't they? Some have actually paid the ultimate and have died. But others have been delivered because of their prayers. But they will not deny their knowledge of God and will not deny it publicly. We need to be the same, folks. We need to have this excellent spirit. He adopted a humble posture as well, didn't he, in verse 10? He says he was on his knees. He was on his knees. Sometimes we realize that we need to be that. Daniel is a model of inflexible commitment to God, regardless of what it cost him. And it cost him everything. He ended up in the den of lions. And I find it fascinating what the king said, "Your God will deliver you." Didn't say he may be able to deliver you. There's a possibility he will deliver you. But my Bible says, "Your God will deliver you." I think the king then started to get faith. Do you think so? His ego got out of the way then. He realized that he messed up and he started to get faith. I have to ask you a question this morning because I'm an evangelist at heart. Where's your faith? Where are you in all this? Yeah? Do you believe that God can deliver you? Yeah? Do you believe that God can deliver you? In any circumstances that you're in, do you believe that God can deliver you? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do you believe that God can deliver you from your sins? Do you believe that your sin is separating you from God? That's what the Bible says it is. Your sin is separating you from God. But God can deliver you. God can deliver you from a den. He delivered Daniel from a den of lions. He can deliver you from hell and destruction. Yeah? But you can be delivered from the circumstances that you're in today even. Some of you may have been going through some troubles and everything else, and I don't know you, and that's the best thing about being a visiting preacher. Yeah? I don't know you, but I just sense that, you know, that some of you have gone through some troubles or going through some troubles, maybe mentally, even physically. And God can deliver you from these. Yeah? He can save you, but he can also heal you. I believe in a God that heals. Actually, at the end of this chapter, he talks about the God who is actually doing signs and wonders. Yeah? How many of you believe in signs and wonders? I do. I've seen some amazing things in my life. I've seen some amazing things when I've prayed with people. Daniel was delivered out of the den of lions. The rest of them that plotted it ended up in the den of lions. But I'm going to finally finish with the last verse. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He prospered because of his faith. He prospered because of his trustworthiness. He prospered because he had a different spirit, an excellent spirit. But he prospered most of all because he trusted in his God. And he said, no matter what happens, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And we're not talking about prosperity in the sense that you're going to get loads of money. We're talking about prospering you in all aspects of your life. Yeah? The word prosper there, and I looked it up, and it's the word, Hebrew word, shalom. Shalom, which we all translate as peace, but it's more than peace. It's an all-round well-being. Wow. It's a spiritual word and also a physical word. It's telling you about the whole of your life can be well and prosperous and peaceful and healing. And all those things are in that word, shalom. So when the next time you hear somebody say shalom, just think, whoa, I'm going to be prospered in this land. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you got to that point in your life and you're saying, Lord, I just want everything. I'm going to give it all to you. I want to be a Daniel. We used to sing a children's chorus. Yeah. Dare to be a Daniel. Okay, folks, dare to be a Daniel. I can't remember all the words. Pauline probably would. No, she can't. Some of you older people could probably remember those words. I'm not that old, you know. Dare to be a Daniel. Are you daring to be a Daniel? Are you going to learn from Daniel? I mean, obviously you're going through the book of Daniel. I'm glad I haven't got chapter 7. have a read through chapter 7. Have fun. Yeah. But you know, Daniel was an amazing guy. He saw visions and everything else. But most of all, he knew his God. And he did great exploits for his God. Because he had an excellent spirit. And he knew his God. If you know God, and you know not just about him, but know him. Oh, to know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, being made like him in his death. Yeah. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. You may know him today. And if you do know him, you can get to know him more and more and more. Get to know the God of Daniel and be blessed and prosper in this pagan country. Oh, shouldn't have said that, should I? We're supposed to be, according to our Prime Minister, a Christian country. Yeah. Folks, we need to pray for our country. We need to bring back salvation to this country. Yeah. And God will do amazing things in this country. I believe we're ripe for revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want us to pray about that. Let's stand or sit or kneel and just let's lift the Lord up. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that we would dare to be Daniels, that we would dare, Lord, to believe that you can do some amazing things. Lord, we would dare that you would do signs and wonders, that we would dare, Lord, that we would believe that we would actually trust in you, Lord, that you would do some amazing things in our lives. I pray for the folks here this morning. I pray, Lord, that they will know you more and more and more and more, Lord. Whom to know is eternal life. Oh, bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.